I'd like to introduce this lesson by reading from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, starting in chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. We see a passage that speaks about how God spoke to people at different times and in different ways to the fathers by the prophets. So in this lesson, we're going to look at the ages in the past to the present time in relationship to God's law and how God dealt with mankind during these three ages. These three ages are the patriarchal age, the Jewish age, and the Christian age. The patriarchal age is the time period from the creation of the world until the time of Christ. The Jewish age is the time period from the giving of the law of Moses to the law of Christ. And the Christian age is the time period from the giving of the law of Christ, or the gospel of Christ, to the end of the world. I would like to introduce the patriarchal age by reading Genesis chapter 18, starting in verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." What God here is telling Abraham is he's expecting him to command his children and his household after him, that they are to keep the ways of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice. In other words, do what God commands of them. This is an example of how God dealt with people in the times past, which is in agreement with Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, where we spoke about that very thing. In fact, the definition of this term, patriarch, has in the Koine Greek, in the root of the word, it means to rule the family, and is applied to fathers and heads of tribes or other leaders. When we look at this time period and look at other examples, we see God speaking to men directly, through dreams and visions, through angels and prophets. The next age is the Jewish age. It's also called the Mosaic Age. It's the time period from the giving of the law of Moses to the law of Christ. And this is the time period where it only applied to the nation of Israel. It did not apply to the Gentiles or non-Jews. And so during this period of time, the Gentiles were still under the patriarchal age. But how do we know that this applied only to the nation of Israel? Well, let's look at Exodus chapter 34, starting verse 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets of the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Another passage that also teaches the same thing is in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 2. Which says, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive." These passages make it apparent, plus others, that this applied only to the nation of Israel. And it only applied until the law of Christ came in effect. And that was prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verses 31 through 34, when it predicted the end of the law of Moses, or this covenant with God. And we see the fulfillment of that in Hebrews chapter 8, starting in verse 7. Let's read that. "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their families in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none of his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, the context is Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. This passage says this, For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins. Here we have a passage that says when Jesus shed his blood for our sins, it was to institute the new covenant. Which brings us to the Christian age, the time period from the giving of the law of Christ, or the covenant that Christ set up, also called the gospel, to the end of the world. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, starting, After Jesus had died for our sins and been raised from the dead, he spoke to his apostles, saying this, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Here we have a passage that teaches that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he's telling the apostles to make disciples of all nations. And in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, it talks about the idea of preaching the gospel to the whole creation. In other words, it's for all people. Let's summarize these three ages. We have the patriarchal age, which was the time period from the creation of the world until the time of Christ, which applied only to the Gentiles or the non-Jews. And then we have the Jewish age, which only applied to the nation of Israel. And then we have the third age, is the Christian age, which applied to all people and was the end of the law of Moses and the patriarchal age, which is in effect now until the end of time. If God only spoke to heads of families during the patriarchal age, were they under law then? Well, in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, which we quoted earlier, tends to suggest that. Let's read that again. This is the Lord speaking to Abraham. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 adds this, Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Why? Because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Verse 12 of Romans 5 says that all men sin. Verse 13 says that if there is no law, sin would not be imputed, or people judged as sinners if law was not in effect. And because all sin, then evidently law was in effect at the time of the beginning. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 adds this, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 24 verse 5, it says this, The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. This passage here says that everyone on the earth has sinned, therefore suggesting law has always been in effect. Therefore, all men are and have been under divine law. Not only that, law was revealed by God. And under each of these ages, men live by faith, as discussed in Hebrews chapter 11. And Romans 10:17 teaches that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, examples in Hebrews 11 of people who live by faith are Abel and Enoch. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks." Since faith comes by hearing, Abel, therefore, heard God and offered a sacrifice according to what God said, and Cain didn't. Therefore, this passage says that Abel was righteous, implying that Cain wasn't, because Cain didn't listen to what God said. We can read about Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says, "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and it was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." In Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, we read how Enoch walked with God. The idea of walking with God is doing what God says. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 describes Enoch is so well pleasing to God that Enoch did not have to die physically, as God took him when he was still alive. That's pretty impressive, because there's only a couple of people that are described that way in the Old Testament. Another evidence that law was revealed by God in each of these ages is the example of the men during the days of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, says this, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And dropping down to verse 9, in regards to Noah, it says this, "Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Here we have an example of men during Noah's age that were evil continuously, so much so that God, as a result of that, decided to destroy the world and saved only Noah and his family, because Noah was blameless or righteous, but yet the men that lived with during Noah's time were not. Evidence of a standard of righteousness that was present that they refused to follow. And since God is described as fair, and when men decided not to follow what God had to say, God decided to destroy the world because of their refusal to obey God. Another evidence that law was revealed to man by God is recorded in Genesis chapter 20 in regards to King Abimelech and Abraham. Why don't we read that passage starting in verse 2 through verse 7. "Now Abraham said of Sarah his wife, 'She is my sister,' and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? She herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hand, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Well, the story goes on, and Abimelech does as God asks. So here we have an example of King Abimelech being spoken to through a dream by God, and he learned of God and his will from this. Now that brings us to the point about law. Was it written or not? The Jews had a written law under the law of Moses, but let's read in Romans chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15, which speaks about the difference between the law to the Jews and the law to the Gentiles. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Here we have a passage that says the Gentiles who don't have the law, and it's referring to they don't have a written law like the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, where they do the things contained in the law by nature, and when they violate the law, it either accuses them or excuses them of doing wrong because it's written on their hearts. And so here we have a passage that speaks about how the law to the Gentiles was not written. Even though there wasn't a written law to the Gentiles, God's law was revealed to man. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 starting, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Here we have a passage of scripture that says God's will had been known to them, and even though they knew God, they didn't serve God or do what God said. Continuing on and starting in verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So here we have a section of scripture that talks about where they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And verse 28 adds this, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. In other words, they rejected God and his truth, and they refused to keep God in their knowledge. Dropping down to verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving death, not only do they do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Here we have a passage of scripture which says that basically they knew God's ordinances against sin, and it deserved death, yet they practiced sin, and they consented with those who sin also. So far we have seen that men have always been under divine law, and that law was revealed by God, And the law to the Gentiles was not written like it was to the Jews. But what about the idea that we can know what God wants without divine revelation? Or the idea that we're born somehow specifically to know what right and wrong is? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, it says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. And Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. These passages say that no, we cannot know what God wants specifically without divine revelation. There is a possible exception, though. We might have the sense that things like murder or stealing are wrong. Well, what else does the scripture say about revealing God's will to us? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 in part through 13 in part, it says this, No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Now we need to keep in mind that these things are being spoken by the Apostle Paul during the Christian age. Another passage that speaks about God's divine revelation to man is Paul's letter to the Ephesians, starting in chapter 3, verse 3, where he's talking about his stewardship. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Some of the things that are being revealed now were a mystery before, and now it isn't because God has revealed it to men through his apostles and prophets. So what else does the scripture say in regards to God revealing himself in the Christian age? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, we have the Apostle Paul writing, speaking of Christ, it says, When he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This passage speaks about the idea of Christ being above all people, not only in this age, the Christian age, and also the one to come. It also suggests that Christ has authority over all people, regardless if they recognize it or not. In John chapter 17, verse 2, it basically says this, that Christ has authority over all flesh. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, it talks about Christ's right to rule in heaven and earth, and that we're supposed to follow everything he teaches. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, it talks about the idea of preaching the gospel to the whole creation. Christ's authority over all men is known by the gospel. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it speaks about how the word of his power upholds all things. And that's how God speaks to us today through his word as revealed in the New Testament. And that word in the New Testament as revealed in Acts chapter 17 and verses 30 and 31 says this about what we need to be doing. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man who he has ordained. is talking about Christ here. To conclude this lesson, let's summarize. Since the creation, all men have been under divine law. And since Acts 2, all men have been under the gospel, or the law of Christ. I leave you with one final passage. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it puts it this way, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." It's only through the gospel of Christ that one has hope of being saved. Thank you for your kind attention today.